And we're catching up with local business owner and a bit of a property guru, George Peake. Good morning.
Good morning, Mel. How are you today?
Your industry is finance, real estate, and we've got you in today to have a chat just about that, really. We've had some interest rates drops and changes. What does that mean to the average punter?
Well, the 0.25% that came off on Tuesday with the Reserve Bank is actually going to help people in the tune of, if you've got a $450,000 loan, you're going to be saving around $93 a month.
Wow.
So, and then those nice big first homeowner loans at $650,000, we're looking at $135 per month savings. And majority of banks have actually passed on the actual full discount or the 0.25%. And, you know, people need to understand that sometimes they may not always pass it on because they could have already been cheaper in the market.
Yes, that's right, that's right. Would you suggest, because I've sort of been told this too, if you are able to maintain your mortgage at its current rate and you're paying what you need to pay, when the interest rate drops, don't drop your payment.
100%. And the problem is, though, Mel, most banks, unless you've told them that you are paying a little bit above what you should be paying, they will actually automatically reduce the payment.
Which is to their benefit, because you're not paying ahead, which means you don't have those extra years reduction at the end of your mortgage. Now, you might think, okay, well, it's another 26 years away before I'm going to be finished. But even paying that extra $90-odd dollars a month means that you drop years off the end.
Well, it's actually like, it, when you think about it, $100 a month, that's $1,200 a year. That's basically nearly another full repayment a year. That's compounding. So you will actually knock off a few years off your loan.
So if you can afford to pay, make sure you talk to your banks and let them know that that's what you want to do. I didn't know that they would automatically drop it down. Cheeky.
Yes, I know. But, hey, also don't forget to talk to your broker.
Always talk to your broker. Shameless plug. So also talking this morning about if you're looking at entering the property market, at the moment in the Northern Territory, it's kind of a buyer's delight.
It sure is, Mel. I think this is a time that if you really want to get into the property market, you should be doing it now.
Do what you can to get your foot in the door, especially for people that don't own property at the moment. If you're looking at buying an apartment, though, there are things you need to be really careful about.
Yes, you do. You really need to be looking at some key factors. If you're buying off the plan, which is what normally happens in a market that's a lot of construction's happening, at the moment, that's not really happening. But if you were, you need to consider what you are buying, how does it compare to what's already in the market? Because you're not, in a lot of cases, you're paying a future value.
Oh, and it's not there yet. That's right.
That's right. And this is where you've really got to be careful. You've got to look at, is that future value too much of a premium? Because if it's above too much of a premium, more than likely, when you get time to settle your loan 2 years down the track, you may not be able to settle, because the valuation of that property may not be what you've signed a contract for.
Oh, gee, that's a worry.
That's a big worry, yes.
Especially in a market that's kind of as unstable as Darwin at the moment.
That's exactly right. So you've got to be very careful of that. In this market, though, currently, you should be really focusing probably on more established properties or new construction homes. And, you know, there isn't really a lot off the plan at the moment in units anyway. The key thing is when that property market starts up again, which it will do, inner city apartments will always be developed, that you need to be looking at those sort of, pitfalls and, you know, making sure that you do your research so you're not paying a premium. You know, you also need to look at things like your body corporate fees.
Now, this is a sneaky sometimes, because you get excited and you fall in love with an apartment. You think, oh, isn't it lovely? It's got a gym, it's got a pool, it's got lifts. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
They're not free.
No, they're not. And just like you normally, the 1st of January every year, people run out and buy gym memberships. And how many people actually use it?
That's right.
So you can need to look at the fact that if your body corporate has a gym and other multiple body corporate paid sort of services in the building, you may be just paying it like an unlimited or never-ending gym membership.
Yeah, that's right. Think about it. How often do you swim in your swimming pool? How often do you go to the gym? Do you need to be on the 10th floor of a building when another apartment that you love is a walk-up? You've got to think about the things that you pay, because elevators can be costly too.
They do. And it comes down to how many units are in a building. Bottom line is most banks and lender mortgage insurance companies look at anything above 30, 34, apartments is considered high density, and therefore lending changes as well in regards to those. It gets
harder. They don't like high density.
Not really. They get a little shy. So currently around Darwin, most of the major lenders are restricting on what you can buy in existing, even in existing high-rise buildings, because their exposure of lending 90-95% 3 or 4 years ago means now that people have loans that are actually more than actually what the property is worth.
Now, yeah, and again, another scary reality, something that you need to know. Information is power. And I guess for a lot of us, real estate can be an emotional buy. We see it, we fall in love, we can picture ourselves and our families in this home. We can scrape together the money at this time to buy it. But when you're looking at interest rates, when you're looking at ongoing body corporate fees, you've got to take the emotion out.
You do. And what you need to look at when you're comparing body corporate fees is, and compared to a house, if you buy a house for $550,000, you have a certain amount of insurance that you need to hold. And then you do the gardening, you do the maintenance, you do all those things. Realistically, body corporate insurance on the same type of value property shouldn't be too much different. If it is, you're paying for services in the building. There's some buildings around town that have got multiple costings to body corporate, you know, fish ponds and tennis courts and, you know, excess swimming pools and gyms and so on. And all of that you're paying for, where you probably wouldn't have that in your own home.
No.
So to me, I would look for a building normally that, yes, I think you've got to have a swimming pool for future value. And especially if you're going to rent it, renters love swimming pools in complexes, even though they don't use them, right? But you need it. So there's certain things that do need to come with a property. But in regards to body corporate, your body corporate's covering your insurance, your water, your sewerage, your lift maintenance, your basically property maintenance, and your sinking fund, which is part of your body corporate fee, is a fund that you pay towards so that in 10 years' time when the building needs major repainting, it's already paid for and taken care of, where most people, when they own their homes, don't put any money away for those rainy days. Yeah.
So what's a good ballpark figure if you're going into a building and it's got a pool and it's got a lift? What can we expect to pay, let's say, just annually, or if you want to break down quarterly, average body corp?
I think the average body corp in a high rise of an 8-story building, which is, you know, sort of the typical building around the city, with around 30 units, you are looking around about $1,400 to $1,500 a quarter. And that, to me, is quite reasonable. I mean, we're involved with quite a few buildings, and managing that, you're what they call the admin fund, part of the sinking fund, and the sinking fund makes up your body corporate fee. And the admin fund is to do all those paying the electricity of the common property, the gardening and all of that. So around that figure is about right. And if you actually look at that for the same value in a home, the only difference really is just the $300 on average that a body corporate manager charges to manage that per unit is about the difference of what you're paying at your home. But if you're actually doing your bills at home, what's your time worth?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So realistically, if you compare it that way, you can actually do the sums quite easily.
So it's just another thing you need to be aware of.
Yeah, just be smart about it. And when things seem a little bit too expensive, it's normally because they're offering way too many body corporate features in the building, and you're never going to use them.
Without giving away building names, tell me the scariest body corporate fee that you've ever seen.
$26,000 a year.
Oh my God! Does a butler come with that?
Yeah, you would think so, wouldn't you?
$26,000 a year body corporate.
There's a couple of those buildings around town, and they normally come with pretty sophisticated or complex management agreements.
Yeah.
They aren't really to do with the body corporate, but they're signed up for other services that have to go through those management companies.
I've always found if you are talking to a property developer or a real estate agent inside an apartment, you ask about body corporate fees and they take you into a little room to tell you them.
They whisper it.
Don't sign. George, it's always a pleasure to have you in, my friend. Thank you so much for that information. We'll catch up again next week.
Thank you very much, Mel. Look forward to it.